Chapter 6. Ellenwy. Terran came to his senses on a pile of dirty straw, which smelled as though Gurgi and all of his ancestors had slept on it. A few feet above him, pale yellow sunlight shone through the grating. The feeble beam ended abruptly on the wall of rough, damp stone. Shadows of bars lay across the tiny patch of light. Instead of brightening the cell, the wan rays made it only appear more grim and closed in. As Terran's eyes grew accustomed to this yellow twilight, he made out a heavy, studded portal with a slot at the base. The cell itself was over three paces square. His head ached. Since his hands were still bound behind him, he could do nothing more than guess at the large throbbing lump. What had happened to Gwydion, he dared not imagine. After the Kuldren warrior had struck him, Terran had regained consciousness only a few moments before slipping once again into whirling darkness. In that brief time, he vaguely remembered opening his eyes and finding himself slung over a guard's back. His confused recollection included a dim corridor with doors on either side. Gwydion had called out to him once, or so Terran believed. He could not recall his friend's words. Perhaps even that had been part of the nightmare. Suppose Gwydion had been cast into another dungeon? Terran fervently hoped so. He could not shake off the memory of Akron's livid face and horrible screaming, and he feared she might have ordered Gwydion slain. Still, there was no good reason to hope that his companion was dead. Akron could easily have cut his throat as he braved her in the council hall. Yet she had held back. Thus, she intended to keep Gwydion alive. Perhaps, Terran thought wretchedly, Gwydion would be better off dead. The idea of a proud figure lying like a broken corpse filled Terran with grief that quickly turned into rage. He staggered to his feet, lurched to the door, kicking it, battering himself against it with what little strength he had remained. In despair, he sank to the damp ground, his head pressed against the unyielding oaken planks. He rose again after a few moments and kicked at the walls. If Gwydion were, by any chance, in an adjoining cell, Terran hoped he would hear this signal. But he judged from the dull and muffled sound that the walls were too thick for his feeble tapping to penetrate. As he turned away, a flashing object fell through the grating and dropped to the stone floor. Terran stooped. It was a ball of what appeared to be gold. Perplexed, he looked upward. From the grating, a pair of intensely blue eyes looked back at him. "Please," said a girl's voice, light and musical. "My name is Ellenwy, and if you wouldn't mind, would you throw my bauble back to me? I don't want you to think I'm a baby playing with a silly bauble, because I'm not. But sometimes there's absolutely nothing else to do around here, and it slipped out of my hands when I was tossing it." "Little girl," Terran interrupted, "I don't..." "But I'm not a little girl," Ellenwy protested. "Haven't I just been and finished telling you? Are you slow-witted? I'm so sorry for you. It's terrible to be dull and stupid. What's your name?" she went on. "It makes you feel funny not knowing someone's name. Wrong-footed, you know. Or as if I had three thumbs on one hand. If you could see what I mean, it's clumsy." "I'm Terran of Caer Dol Ben," Terran said, and then wished he had not. This, he realized, could be another trap. "That's lovely," Ellenwy said gaily. "I'm very glad to meet you. I suppose you're a lord, or a warrior, or a war leader, or a bard, or a monster. Though we haven't had any monsters for a long time." "I'm none of those," said Terran, feeling quite flattered that Ellenwy should have taken him for any one of them.
"Well, what else is there?"
"I'm an assistant pig keeper," Terran said. He bit his lips as soon as the words were out, and then, to excuse his loose tongue, told himself that it could do no harm for the girl to know that much.
"How fascinating," Ellenwy said. "You're the first we've ever had. Unless that poor fellow in the other dungeon is one, too."
"Tell me of him," Terran said quickly. "Is he alive?"
"I don't know," said Ellenwy. "I peeked through the grating, but I couldn't tell. He doesn't move at all, and I should imagine he is alive. Otherwise, Akron would have fed him to the ravens. Now, please, if you don't mind, it's right at your feet."
"I can't pick up your bauble because my hands are tied." The blue eyes looked surprised.
"Oh. Well, that would account for it. Then I suppose I shall have to come in and get it."
"You can't come in and get it," Terran said wearily. "Don't you see I'm locked up here?"
"Of course I do," said Ellenwy. "But what would be the point of having someone in a dungeon if they weren't locked up?"
"Really, Terran of Caer Dol Ben, you surprise me with some of your remarks.
I don't mean to hurt your feelings by asking, but is assistant pig keeper the kind of work that calls for great deals of intelligence?
Something beyond the grating and out of Terran's vision swooped down, and the blue eyes disappeared suddenly. Terran heard what he took to be a scuffle and then a high-pitched shriek, followed by a larger shriek and a moment or two of loud smacking. The blue eyes did not reappear. Terran flung himself back on the straw. After a time, in the dreadful silence and the loneliness of the tiny cell, he began to wish Ellen would come back. She was the most confusing person he'd ever met, and surely as wicked as everyone else in this castle. Although he could not quite bring himself to believe that completely. Nevertheless, he longed for the sound of another voice, even Ellenwee's prattling. The grating above his head darkened, night poured into the cell in a black, chilly wave. The slot in the heavy portal rattled open. Terran heard something being slid into the cell and crawled toward it. It was a shallow bowl. He sniffed carefully and finally ventured to touch his tongue to it, fearing all the while that it might be poisoned food. It was not food at all, but only a little water, warm and musty. His throat was so parched that Terran disregarded the taste, thrust his face into the bowl, and drank it dry. He curled up and tried to sleep away his pain. The tight bonds pinched, but his swollen hands were mercifully numb. Sleep brought only nightmares, and he roused to find himself shouting aloud. He settled down once more. There was a rasping sound under the straw. Terran stumbled to his feet. The rasping grew louder. "Move away!" cried a faint voice. Terran looked around him, dumbfounded. "Get off the stone?" He stepped backward. The voice was coming from the straw. "Well, I can't lift it with you standing on it, you silly assistant pig-keeper," the muffled voice complained. Frightened and puzzled, Terran jumped to the wall. A pallet began rising upward. Loose flagstone was lifted, pushed aside, and a slender shadow emerged, as if from the ground itself. "Who are you?" Terran shouted. "Who did you expect?" said the slender voice of Ellenwee. "And please, don't make such a racket. I told you I was coming back. Oh, there's my bauble." The shadow bent and picked up the luminous ball. "Where are you?" cried Terran. "I can see nothing." "Is that what's bothering you?" Ellenwee asked. "Why didn't you say so in the first place?" Instantly, a bright light filled the cell. It came from the golden sphere in the girl's hand. Terran blinked in amazement. "What is that?" he cried. "It's my bauble," said Ellenwee. "How many times do I have to tell you?" But it lights up." "What did you think it would do? Turn into a bird and fly away?" Ellenwee, as the bewildered Terran saw her for the first time, had, in addition to blue eyes, long hair of reddish gold reaching to her waist. Her face, though smudged, was delicate, elfin, with high cheekbones. Her short white robe, mud-stained, was girded with silver links. A crescent moon of silver hung from a fine chain around her neck. She was one or two years younger than he, but fully as tall. Ellenwee put the glowing sphere on the floor and quickly went to Terran, unknotted the bonds that bound him. "I meant to come back sooner," Ellenwee said, "but Akron caught me talking to you. She started to give me a whipping. I bit her. And then she locked me in one of the chambers deep underground," Ellenwee went on, pointing to the flagstones. "There are hundreds of them under Spiral Castle, and all kinds of galleries and little passages, like a honeycomb. Akron didn't build them, though. This castle, they say, once belonged to a great king. She thinks she knows all the passageways, but she doesn't. She hasn't been in all half of them. Can you imagine Akron going through a tunnel? She's older than she looks, you know," Ellenwee giggled. "But I know everyone, and most of them connect with each other. It took me longer in the dark, though, because I didn't have my bauble." "You mean you live in this terrible place?" Terran asked. "Naturally. You don't imagine I'd want to visit here or something, do you?" "Is Akron your mother?" Terran gasped and drew back fearfully. "Certainly not," cried the girl. "I am Ellenwee, daughter of Agarad, daughter of Regat, daughter of... Oh, it's such a bother going through all that. My ancestors," she said proudly, "are the Sea People. I am the blood of Lir Halfspeech, the Sea King. Akron is my aunt, though sometimes I think she's really not my aunt at all." "Well, then, what are you doing here?" "I said I live here," Ellenwee answered. "It must take a lot of explaining before you understand anything. My parents died, and my kinsmen sent me here so Akron could teach me to be an enchantress. It's a family tradition, don't you see? The boys are war leaders, the girls are enchantresses."
"But
"Akron is leagued with Aron of Anuvin," cried Terran. "She's an evil, loathsome creature." "Oh, everybody knows that," said Elenwy. "Sometimes I wish my kinsmen had sent me to someone else, but I think they must have forgotten about me by now."
She noticed the deep slash on his arm.
"Where did you get that?" she asked. "I don't think you know much about fighting if you get yourself knocked about and cut up so badly. But I don't imagine assistant pig keepers are often called on to do that sort of thing."
The girl tore a strip from the hem of her robe and began binding Terran's wound.
"I didn't let myself be cut up," Terran said angrily. "This was Arwan's doing, or your aunt's, or I don't know which, and I don't care. One is no better than the other." "I hate Akron," Elenwy burst out. "She is a mean, spiteful person. Of all of the people who come here, you're the only one who's the least bit agreeable to talk to. And she had you damaged."
"Well, that's not the end of it," Terran said. "She means to kill my friend."
"If she does that," said Elenwy, "I'm sure she'll include you. Akron doesn't do things by halves. It would be a shame if you were killed. I should be very sorry. I know I wouldn't like it if it happened to me."
"Elenwy, listen," Terran interrupted.
"If there are tunnels and passages under the castle, can you get into the other cells? Is there a way outside?" "Of course there is," Elenwy said. "If there's a way in, there has to be a way out, doesn't there?"
"Will you help us?" Terran asked. "It is important for us to be free of this place. Will you show us the passage?"
"Let you escape? Wouldn't Akron be furious at that?"
She tossed her head.
"It would serve her right for whipping me and trying to lock me up." "Yes, yes," she went on, her eyes dancing. "That's a wonderful idea. I would love to see her face when she comes down to find you." "Yes, that would be more fun than anything I could think of. Could you imagine?"
"Listen carefully," Terran said. "Is there a way you can take me to my companion?" Elenwy shook her head.
"That would be very hard to do. You see, some of the galleries connect with the ones leading to the cells, but when you try and go across, what happens is that you just start to run into passengers that..."
"Never mind, then," Terran said shortly. "Can I join him in one of the passageways?"
"Well, I don't see why you'd want to do that," said the girl. "It would be so much simpler if I just go let him out and have him wait for you beyond the castle. I don't understand why you want to complicate things. It's bad enough for two people crawling about, but with three, you can imagine what that would be. And you can't possibly find the way by yourself."
"Very well," Terran said impatiently. "Free my companion first. I only hope he is well enough to move. If he isn't, then you must come and tell me right away, and I'll think of some means of carrying him." "And there is the white horse Melengar," Terran went on. "I don't know what's been done with her."
"Well, she should be in the stable.
Isn't that where you'd usually find a horse?" "Please," Terran said, "you must get her too, and weapons for us. Will you do that?"
Elma nodded quickly. "Yes, this should be very exciting," she giggled again.
She picked up the glowing ball, kept it in her hands, and once again the cell was dark. The stone grated shut, and only Elenwy's silvery laugh lingered behind. Terran paced back and forth. For the first time, he felt some hope, although he wondered how much he could count on this scatterbrained girl. She was likely to forget what she started out to do. Worse, she might betray him to Akron. It might be another trap, a new torment that promised him freedom, only to snatch it away. But even so, Terran decided, they could be no worse off. To save his energy, he lay down on the straw and tried to relax. His bandaged arm no longer pained him, and while he was still hungry and thirsty, the water he had drunk had taken some of the edge off his discomfort. He had no idea how long it would take to travel through the underground galleries, but as time passed, he grew more anxious. He worked at the flagstone the girl had used. It would not move, though Terran's efforts bloodied his fingers. He sank again into the dark, endless waiting. Elenwy did not return.